Hello and welcome to another Project Love podcast. So today we're going to be talking about how to be a good lover, the five essential elements to creating a happy and healthy love life. And this is a great one actually to share amongst your friends, whether they're in a relationship or are single, because obviously when you're in a relationship, it's great to be able to know how to make that relationship really good. But we also find that when you are single and you're looking for love, it's so important to understand and to start kind of educating yourself in a way as to what really makes for a wonderful relationship, so that you're already in that headspace and coming from that place as you're going about dating people and finding the right match for you. So we actually did this talk a couple of weeks ago at Soho House and it went down really well. And so we wanted to share it with you guys too. So what it really all boils down to is whether and to what degree you come from a place of love when it comes to relationships and love, and whether and to what degree you come from a place of fear. So what it all boils down to really is approaching love and relationships from a loving place rather than a place of fear. And that is what these five essential elements are all about. It's showing you how you can approach your relationships standing from a place of love. So the first one is really at the very heart of what we teach. And when you get this, everything else tends to shift and fall into place. And it's one that we've spoken about before. I'm sure if you've listened to our podcast, you've heard us talking about it before. And it's the importance of cultivating love. And the problem is, we've been led to believe that love is received from the outside. It's something that is given to us by another person. But it's not something to be won or got or chased after. And that is one of really the biggest misunderstandings about love. And it's something that we're taught by Hollywood films and Disney films and modern day fairy tales, that the knight in shining armor comes along and gives us love. And if we don't have a relationship in our life, then we have this big absence of love. But what it also means is then when you're in a relationship, you're constantly expecting that other person, just that one person in your life, to be giving you that experience of love all the time. And the problem with that is it's huge amounts of pressure on the relationship, and it's also a really unrealistic expectation. And so what we teach people is the importance of learning how to cultivate love in your own life, both when you're single, because when you do that, it helps to attract people into your life, healthy, happy, loving people into your life. When you're in a relationship, it also keeps that love alive. So the idea is that you're two people who are coming to a relationship, generating love for yourself, generating love on the inside, bringing that to the relationship rather than expecting that other person to be feeding you with love, because two people who don't know how to love themselves don't suddenly miraculously make for a relationship full of love. In fact, it just makes for a relationship that's fraught with frustration, because you're never going to be getting the love that you need, because the love that you need has to start from within. One of the phrases I used in this talk, which I loved and I still love, it was to say, be your own love factory. We should make that into a tweetable. But it really is about being the source of love in your own life, taking responsibility for making you happy and filling your life up with love and bringing that to a relationship when you are in a relationship. So how do you do that? Well, just a few pointers to get you started. First of all, it's really about getting to know yourself, really getting to know you and what experiences, what helps you to feel full of love and to start filling your life up with those things or those people or those activities that give you that feeling of joy and well-being and happiness and love. Then there's also, of course, self-love. So daily practices of self-love, finding ways that you can express your love for yourself. And if you think, wow, I wouldn't even know where to start with that, because frankly, I don't love myself. And for a lot of people, when we first start working with them, the whole notion of self-love is like at best a bit alien, and at worst makes them cringe and run in the other direction. But there are little things you can start doing, even if it's just like self-nourishing things, giving yourself good food, maybe it's buying yourself flowers, having a hot bath at the end of the day, just tiny little things that actually give you the message of, I matter, I care about me, I am here for me, and I'm not neglecting myself anymore, because a lot of the time we do fall into actually just neglecting ourselves. And then another thing that we get people to do is to go on dates with themselves. And that's just to think of something that you would normally only do with a loved one. It could be things you do with your best friend, or things that you would love to do with a partner, and whether you have one or not, but actually instead of doing it with another person, doing it with yourself. And in doing that, again, you're treating yourself like you would a loved one. And that's the whole point of self-love, is that you suddenly, the love you give out to the world, the love you give out to people, you're now turning it around and giving it to yourself as well. So those are just our sort of initial tips on cultivating love. Anything you want to say about that, Vicky?
When you say, you know, show yourself love in a daily way, like running a bath and buying yourself flowers, they will be different for every person. So we encourage you to really just make a list of all the things that you would love to do, and just pick a few things maybe off that list every week, and just commit to doing them. It doesn't need to be really complex. And you'll find your own ways of showing yourself love. And it's exciting to actually think of, you know, what does your list look like, and what kind of things can you do? And then just start cherry picking off your list and book them in your diary, if that helps.
Yeah, and I like the idea of think about how you would love to be looked after and pampered by someone else.
Yes.
And then, right, now you do it for you. And it might feel uncomfortable at first, to feel like, oh, I'm doing this for me because no one else is there to do it for me. But actually, we really encourage you to look at it in a different way and go, actually, no, this is about really nurturing a strong and healthy relationship with me. And in doing that, your whole, really, your whole experience of life does change. You suddenly feel fulfilled in a way that you never could have when you weren't looking after yourself and you weren't pampering yourself.
Yeah.
So that is essential element number one.
So essential element number two is to give the love that you want to receive. Now, that may sound like an alien thing, because often sort of the tendency when we really want something to either push it too much, where we apply so much energy to it that we're not coming from a place of love, or we kind of pull away completely and we withhold our love because we just want to shut down if that person isn't giving us what we want. So it's kind of like a scale of when we're not getting what we want, there's kind of two extremes. Often what we find with clients is that they're very used to getting what they want through a particular strategy that serves them really well at work. So for example, having success at work comes from applying lots of energy into your work and working really hard and often getting results, which makes you work harder and work harder. So you kind of develop this blueprint in your mind that if I work really, really hard at something, then I'll get the results that I want. It helps you in your career, but it's not so helpful in love. So when you come at it from that place, there's kind of an urgent, anxious energy where you really want something. So that can come across as needy or desperate, which is the opposite of what you want. And because like attracts like, we've said this before, if you've listened to some of our podcasts, we believe that like attracts like. So if you're putting out that energy, that's what you'll be attracting back into your life. So you're then getting back this needy, anxious vibe back into your life. And the flip of that, when you completely shut down, all you're giving off is sadness. So you're wanting to feel loved, but you're kind of walking around feeling really unlovable and sorry for yourself and helpless and sad. So then all you're getting back is this kind of sad vibe, which again, not what you want. So when you focus your energy on what you desire, and then you give more of that, so in this case, love, then you'll start attracting more of that love back into your life. So we challenge you to open up to the ways that you can give more. It could be giving the love that you've been withholding, or giving kindness to the person that you've been resenting, or just giving thanks for the things that you've been taking for granted. Because the more love you give, the more you'll receive. Kind of like a love boomerang. Again, another tweetable. Now, this isn't to say that you're giving to receive, because that's transactional and frankly it just doesn't work. The intention needs to come from a place of love rather than fear. There can't be any conditions attached to what you're giving. So if I give you this, then you must give me that. There's a condition in place there, because that's coming from a place of fear. When you come from a place of love, it's giving for giving's sake. I give because I want to give, not attaching yourself to any result. So have an honest word with yourself and ask whether you're giving what you want to receive. And if you're not, then give it away. So you might be thinking, okay, yeah, this is all very well, but how do I put this into practice? So we'll just get you started with five ways that you could start. So the first way is to give kindness. So a recent study into modern relationships found that it's actually daily acts of kindness that sustain and nourish relationships in the long term. So just small things like making a loved one a cup of tea, or just sending your friend a text before they go into a really important meeting at work. Just really small things that you can do to give kindness to that person. And this study actually found that it's the daily acts of kindness that act as the glue to hold relationships together. Mm-hmm. So have a think of the daily ways that you can be kind to someone. So the second one is dishing out compliments. So this is something we get clients to do very often, where we just get them to just give a compliment to someone they know or someone they don't know. Actually, giving a compliment to a stranger is a really great thing that you can do. Not only the effect that it has on that other person, it could sometimes make their day, but also the effect that it has on you as well. And just making someone feel like they've got a bit of a spring in their step because you're saying that you like something about them. And it's just a form of really giving that kind of loving energy. And like we say, like attracts like. So often you'll be suddenly starting to attract that energy back into your life. The third one is giving your smile. So to the people you love and also to strangers, again, something that we get the women that we coach to do, and making eye contact with people in the street. It can just be, it doesn't have to be full teeth smile, which is a concern that one of our clients had recently. It can just be a little grin, a little smile in any way you want, where you feel comfortable. And if this sounds a bit, oh, I don't like making eye contact, especially in the mornings when I'm just like trying to get to work and trying to avoid any contact at all, then you could just do it on the escalator, on a train, when you're at the station. Say you're going to work and you're on the escalator and you just catch someone's eye for 2 seconds. It will only be 2 seconds and they'll be going the other way. So you can try that. So look up and connect with the world around you and smile, because again, you could make someone's day. The fourth thing is to give hugs. Give a really good hug. So hugging for 20 seconds actually produces the love hormone oxytocin. So when you give someone a good hug, you feel great because you're full of this really amazing love rush of energy through the oxytocin, but also it makes that other person feel great too. So give your hugs. Next time you see your lover, best mate, your dog, give them a hug. And the last one is giving thanks. I'm sure we all know the benefits of gratitude, but it's actually been proven to help to rewire the brain to think more positively. So it could be making a note of all the experiences and things in your life that you're grateful for, or the people in your life. And a bonus exercise is to then go and thank those people in your life for whatever they've done that had a positive effect on you, and just tell them how grateful you are for them to be in your life. Now, as you said, you'll have your own versions of the ways that you can extend more love and kindness. So we really encourage you to have a think of other ways that you can give and see how your energy shifts.
I love it. And it really does show the importance of that. Actually, love is, like I said, not something to be got, not something to be given to you, but something to share and express and generate. And really, it's so much about what you put out into the world. You get back. And so rather, because quite often in relationships or whether we're single, we can focus on what we're not getting and what we're lacking. And in a relationship, it means that you're then looking and trying to fix things and perhaps highlighting things to your partner about, you know, I'm really not feeling this from you. Rather than, and I love the idea of going, well, hang on, there is another way. Actually, why don't you put into the relationship the things that, not the things that you want to get back, but it's actually what, like, energy, what vibe do you want to give to this relationship? And it's not just about, like, you're giving kindness and gratitude and everyone else is getting it except for you. When you do that, you feel good and it changes, you know. And it's because the gratitude one is a great one, because when you're being grateful for things, it makes you focus on the good stuff.
Yeah.
And what's the saying? Whatever you give your attention to grows. I don't think that's the saying. I'm pretty sure it's a little catchier than that. But it's those lines, whatever you focus your attention on, you know, grows in your life. And so it's not just about giving out stuff that you're not getting and, well, at least other people are getting it. Actually, whatever you put out there, you do get back.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily give it to that one person and you'll get it back from them, but just, you know, you will get it back from the world at large. So
that love boomerang.
That love boomerang, exactly. So the third one carries on really nicely from that one of you know, give the love that you want to be receiving. And so the third one is about opening up to receive love. And what's interesting is that actually it's harder to receive love than it is to give it. And the reason for that is because in order to open up to receive love, you're having to make yourself vulnerable, and you're having to take down the barriers and the sort of fortresses that you put up over time to protect yourself. So, you know, we get hurt. You could be, this could be back from when you were 4 years old, or it could be in your last relationship or a relationship 10 years ago. But you get hurt, and so you think, right, I don't want that to happen again, so I'm going to protect myself. And that's why then so many of us get to a stage in life, particularly if we've had a few knockbacks and a few hurts or traumatic relationships, that we have some serious walls up around us. Now, the problem with that, while we might think it's protecting us from getting hurt, what it's actually doing is stopping us from really allowing people into our lives and really, really connecting with people. And vulnerability, we've mentioned it many times, we love the Power of Vulnerability talk by Brené Brown on TED Talks. If you haven't seen it, go and see it. And it, she shows that to really connect with life and connect with other human beings, you have to be vulnerable. And it takes huge courage, and it is a scary thing to do because you are taking those walls down. But it really is about learning how to protect yourself. It's not making yourself now completely weak and opening yourself up to, you know, being treated badly or hurt by people. It's about learning to take that fortress down, take those walls down, identify the blocks that are getting in the way from you opening up to receiving love, and then so allowing love to sort of come into your life, allowing yourself to receive love, but also knowing and trusting yourself that you can also protect yourself so that you're not going to get hurt like you did in the past. So how do you do that? Well, like I said, one of them is to identify the blocks that you do have up, the things that are standing, that you're putting up, that are getting in the way from you receiving love. And you won't realize it, but it is incredible how powerful we actually are. And if we've got blocks up that are blocking love from our lives because we've thought that that is opening us up to being hurt, then we will be keeping love from us. And that's both if you're single, but also you can be in a relationship. And if you've got blocks up, the frustrations and that, but I'm not feeling the love I want to feel, could very well be coming from the fact that you have got blocks up that aren't allowing yourself to experience the love that you do actually have in that relationship at the moment. So it's really important you work to identify and heal and clear those blocks to allow the love to flow in. We do different exercises. If we were here in person, we'd do different exercises, how to use your body to open you up to love. It's not going to work on a podcast without you seeing us. Maybe we'll do it on a video one day. But a good one to do actually is to practice accepting compliments. It's like a kind of, it's a sort of starting point. So practice accepting compliments. So when people do compliment you, rather than going, oh, well, I, you know, if they say, oh, you look lovely in that, so you look great today, don't go, oh, me? I look a mess. I, you know, my hair's all bad and I, you know, got caught in the rain or whatever it is. Just stop and say thank you. Because actually also what you're doing is someone's giving you a gift. It feels like they're giving you a bit of a gift when they compliment you, if it's authentic, if it's real, and they're not just saying it. And so if you sort of brush it off, then you're kind of rejecting their gift and their way of giving you love. And another good one to do is practice. And people, I still feel uncomfortable saying this, so I've obviously got issues around it, but I see people visibly cringe and sort of like, oh, screw up their eyes when I say it. Practice asking for help. Practice asking people for things that you need. So rather than always thinking, oh, I'll figure out on my own, I don't need help, I can sort it out, actually go out of your way. See if once a day you can ask someone for something or ask someone for help, and just get used to being vulnerable, because, you know, you are when you're asking someone for help. Now, they might turn around and say, look, I'm really sorry, I'm busy. Don't let that kind of make you go back into your shell, like, see, I knew it. It's fine if people are busy. Don't see, that's a good one to practice, that fear of rejection, which is quite often the reason why we sort of put these fortresses up. it's just actually being vulnerable enough to ask for help. And sometimes you'll kind of go, right, I'm going to go and ask for help on this, and you might get it from a source you weren't expecting. So it's just having the openness to go, you know what, I'm not an island, and opening up to receiving love and help and compliments.
Mm. Yeah, because it's about asking for help with no guarantees. So you don't know that somebody is going to be able to help you. And that's the part about vulnerability. It's kind of asking for it with no guarantee of what's going to happen.
Exactly.
But the more you do it, and it's uncomfortable, there's no denying it is uncomfortable, but the more you do it, and this is something that Brené talks about in her TED Talk and her books, one of them called Daring Greatly, and she talks about normalising the discomfort. So she's not denying that it's going to be uncomfortable, but the more you do it, you just normalise it. Like, it's just a part of everyday life. It being a bit uncomfortable, like even when you said that, asking for help, when you first said it when we were planning this talk weeks ago, I was like, ooh, God, really? Every day? But then when you think about it, it's like, oh, okay, if you just start really small and just, see what happens, you could be surprised.
Or asking for input, asking for contribution.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
Opening up to receive love.
Yeah, and it's about letting the love flow in and out of your life. So if you're giving love and you're also receiving love, then it's just a continuous flowing in and out. You know, it's not just like a one-way street.
And this is very much something to apply to your friendships and your family relationships. Mm. It's not just exclusive to romantic relationships. You know, how to be a good lover is actually how to be a great someone that gives love and receives love really well with all the people in their lives and strangers.
Yeah. The fourth element is communication. And we could actually do a whole podcast, probably an hours long podcast, about communication. Because we all know it's an essential element of a healthy and happy relationship. So we could have that as a whole separate talk. What we will talk about is the power of empathy to really transform relationships. And this applies to any relationship in your life. So your friendships, family relationships, romantic relationships, even work relationships. And the definition of empathy, the best way to describe it, is the art of stepping into someone else's shoes. It's really seeing life through their eyes and understanding where they're coming from, where they're at, what are their motivations, what are their needs, wants, desires. Because so often we're just so in our own head. Mm. We're so busy, we're trying to get to work, we're trying to get through the day. We're just surviving rather than thriving in our days. And we don't really have the capacity a lot of the time to really see things from someone else's point of view. But if you think about the really great friendships in your life and think about the qualities of a really good friend, it's like, oh, they're thoughtful, they're really understanding, they really get me. Like, we hear this a lot with clients where they get stuck thinking about what kind of relationship they want to have. You shift it to, okay, what about your friendships? What qualities does a really good friend have? And you know, that's quite easy to just reel off, oh, well, they're this. So empathy is that ability to really step outside of your own self and really understand where someone else is coming from. And that is the art of having really good relationships. Now, when you're really understanding where someone else is coming from, you can really see that the way people express their love is different. Mm-hmm. So we're not all the same. We all have our own ways of expressing our love. And we all have our own ways of understanding love as well. And there's a really interesting concept that's come from an American marriage counsellor called Gary Chapman. And he's written a book called Love Languages. And this is a concept that he's come up with through about 30 years of helping couples find the love that they thought was lost in their marriage. He says that the way we speak and understand love is different, and everybody has their own language. And just like language, we all have our primary language that we've learned since we were a kid. So say if our language is English, and we've always known English, but then we learn a secondary language at school, for example, we learn German. We have that secondary language, so we can speak, we can understand it, but we're actually way more comfortable speaking English because that's our primary language. If we then want to chat to someone whose primary language is Chinese and we don't know Chinese, then we're going to really struggle to understand them. And we'll try with maybe like pointing and gesturing. It's a little bit awkward as we kind of try to understand what they're saying, but we're never going to really get them and we'll never understand them. In love, it's similar. So we may have our own love language equivalent to English, and someone else that we want to have a really good relationship with may have their primary love language as the equivalent to Chinese. So it's very difficult to understand unless you know their language. So we must be willing to learn other people's primary love languages in order to express our love. Now, according to Gary Chapman, we have these five emotional love languages. So five ways to speak and understand love. And just like language, there are also many dialects and iterations of each language within these five that we'll mention now. So the first one is words of affirmation. Selena's probably getting really excited by this one, because this is exactly how she likes her love delivered. It's like a gushy text message or a heartfelt email, like, oh, I love that weekend we spent together, like, you're so important to me, you're the light of my life, and I'm so happy, and the two of us together.
It's great!
Yeah. So the second one is quality time. So this is how I like my love delivered. So this is giving someone your undivided attention. So you get home and say your best mate or your lover, family member, whoever, you get home and they're on their laptop and you're chatting to them about your day and they're just not listening to you. That's quite a hurtful thing if your primary language is quality time. They're just not giving you that time. So for them to give love to you, they would put down their laptop, turn off the TV, look at you and listen to what you're saying. And the third one is receiving gifts. So buying presents like flowers, gig tickets, clothes, chocolates, whatever. And the fourth one is acts of service. So this is like errands, walking the dog, doing the washing up, unloading the dishwasher, life admin stuff like sorting out the bills. Then the last one is physical touch. So having sex, kissing, cuddles, holding hands. So you may have recognised your own love language from that list, and if not, there's a quiz that you can do which we'll send to you. We often express love in our own way, our own language, and then we wonder where did the love go when we don't get the same love delivered back in the same way. But often it's just because other people have their own versions of love and the way that they express it is often different to ours. Rarely do couples have the exact same primary love language. So in an effort to give love in the way that other people understand, we can actually just step into their shoes, have empathy for where they're coming from, and from that place, understand what their love language is. And when we do want to give love to someone else, we can then express it in the way that they'll understand, so that we're speaking their love language. And it has the ability to completely transform relationships.
And it's about not making assumptions. Because often, because it's so easy to think, and that's why it's so important to understand yourself and also understand your partner and your friends and how they communicate and how don't assume that everyone is exactly like you. So you might see someone do certain actions or not do certain actions and think it means, therefore, that they're not loving you. Because if you loved them, then you would be doing these things that they're not doing, or you wouldn't do these things that they're doing. And it's just like, well, hold on a second. Actually, to assume that everyone is like you is crazy. We're all so different. And so then when you start to use that empathy and put yourself in their shoes and go, well, hang on a minute. No, they're not like me. They are different. So what does that behavior, what does it actually mean? Find out from them. Find out if it means that they don't give a shit or that, you know, whatever it is. And it's so, so important. And again, like I was saying before, this applies definitely to romantic relationships, but also to all your relationships. You know, never assume that everyone is exactly like you, thinks like you, acts like you, shows love like you. Discover that people show it in different ways, discover what those ways are, and then the kind of the beauty of it is then when you start to actually try out expressing love in different ways. And you might also find that actually you really enjoy doing that. You just had never tried it before. So yeah, that's a great one. And like you say, we almost have done an entirely separate podcast. It's turning into a podcast marathon. But why not? Okay, so we are on to the fifth essential element, and that is to make time for love. And when we've spoken to people that we think really seem to have successful, happy and healthy relationships, and we ask them, you know, what are their secrets to it, one of the things that always comes up is that they make time for love. They make time for their relationship to really spend quality time. And also they make time to cultivate a loving relationship with themselves.
And particularly what we find is when people are single and they're saying, well, you know, but I just don't have time to be going on dates. Then we always say, well, then do you have time for a relationship? Because you do have to invest time and quality time into these things. But making time for love is also our fifth essential element, because it's all about being present. And being present is absolutely essential to experiencing love and really standing in a space of love. There's a book by a guy called David Richo, and he says that love is in fact just another way of being present. Mm. And actually, love only exists in the present. It doesn't exist in the past. It doesn't exist in the future. It is very much an experience of being present. If you think about the times when you felt really in love with life, probably when you felt really in love with a person, but also perhaps when you've just felt completely in love with a moment or an experience or with the place that you're in or with what you're doing, when you feel that kind of love, it does feel like time has stopped and is suddenly standing still. And that's because what's actually happening is you've become really, really present to the here and now and to this moment. And therefore, if you want to really experience love in your life on a regular basis, you have to stop, you have to pause, and you have to get present. So if you've got a life where you're rushing around from one thing to the next, always thinking to the next thing, and you don't stop and you don't pause and you don't really get into the here and now, then it's going to be very, very hard for you to cultivate a loving relationship with yourself, and very hard when you are in a relationship to actually be present to that love and be present to that person. So it's really, really important that you do, even if you're single now, to actually start taking the time to stop and get present. So the great thing is, these days there are loads of training and teachings out there about mindfulness, which is the art of being present, and meditation. One thing that we often recommend is Headspace, which is a great online app to help you start to meditate if it's something you've never done before, or keep the practice up. But really, it's about any practice that gets you back into your body and back into the present moment. So all sorts of things like Tai Chi and yoga, and Vicky's laughing because I've never done Tai Chi. I really have no idea, but I am told that it's really good at helping you be present. But there's all sorts of great stuff out there. Mindfulness and meditation have become very fashionable now, so which is brilliant because there's loads of stuff out there to help you with it. Mm. But ultimately, it is in the present moment that love is really found. It's not in the hands of one special individual in your life, but it's when you become deeply present to the moment that you're living in, that is where you find love. So make time for it, stop, pause, and learn to get present.
Mm.
And that's it, the final essential element to being a good lover. So have a go at some of those exercises and practices and little tips that we have suggested, and let us know how it goes.